For a moment, I want you to stop and think about all of the podcasts you've ever searched for and listened to or wanted to listen to, and think if there's been a Texas baseball podcast. Okay, you can stop pausing. You probably can't think of any because this is the only one, the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com from Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com, the best analysis about Texas baseball you're going to find in the market from a longtime reporter that's covered it. Some nerdy Major League Baseball discussion, some fantasy baseball discussion. You will be a smarter baseball fan by listening to the Extra Bases podcast.
This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What in the wide world of sports is up with the Texas baseball team? It's me, Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com, and you're listening to episode 39 of the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com, and we're going to talk about the Texas baseball team because, man, there's a lot to talk about after the Longhorns were beaten 15-0 last night at Oklahoma State. Obviously, a very, very poor start to a pivotal weekend for Texas on the diamond as the finish line for the regular season is really coming into focus, and this Texas baseball team is really struggling right now. So it's going to be all Longhorns discussion. If you're a Texas fan and you just you're in a mood for happier things, this might not be the podcast for you. There's a bunch of other podcasts at theyak.com about spring football, about recruiting, about basketball, about fantasy baseball, about training for the Olympics, about tech, about being a mother. There's literally a podcast for anything right now at theyak.com. So if you're in the mood for something a little bit more positive, this might not be the podcast for you. But if you want to know what's going on with the Texas baseball team, you want to know, you know, some honest analysis about what's going on, I hope I can provide that to you over these next 30, 35 minutes or so. So the Longhorns did lose 15-0 last night at Oklahoma State. And the strange thing about that game was Bryce Elder was actually pretty good. I mean, that Oklahoma State field plays extremely small. It's one of the reasons why their offensive numbers are kind of inflated every year, is that that park just, it plays so small. It really caters to power hitters or really anybody that can get the ball up in the air with some authority. So Elder wasn't that bad. He set a career high with 10 strikeouts. He only gave up 3 earned runs of the 5 runs that he gave up. So a very respectable outing, an outing that should have been good enough to at least keep his team fully in the game. But Texas only had one hit last night, just one, against an Oklahoma State pitching staff that really hasn't been good in the Big 12. I think entering the game against Texas, their batting average against in conference play was something like 294 or 295. So teams in the Big 12 were almost hitting 300 against Oklahoma State's pitcher, and to only get one hit, and really that hit probably should have been an error. So realistically, the Longhorns probably were no hit last night, which is in some ways even more embarrassing for Texas that they lost 15-0 and only managed one hit at a place where the ball can just fly out of the stadium. So, yeah, not a lot of positive things to say about Texas last night besides Elder. Defense wasn't that good. The hitting was abysmal. The bullpen was a disaster. You know, Mason Bryant didn't get some help. Pierce seems committed at least now to having Sam Burleson at first base to try to shake things up, and he talks up his defense. I don't see it. I just think he really lacks instincts. He came way off the bag again recently, and it's just something that he's done. They want him to play aggressive, but I just don't see a lot of instincts over there at first base. And the power in the bat hasn't really ever shown in games. So I don't know what they're going to do about first base. And we'll get into some of these changes that have been made recently in Pierce's philosophy about changes in general and you know, his reasoning for some of the changes that have occurred. But the Texas defense wasn't good. The hitting was horrible. There was not a lot of positive things going on for Texas. And quite frankly, since I've been covering Texas baseball, I've been writing about Texas baseball at OrangeWise.com since 2006, so it's been a long time. I've been covering them full-on beat writer mode, whatever you want to phrase it as, but basically just like it's been a, you know, everyday kind of job covering them since probably the 2009 season. I can't recall a worse Big 12 loss. I can't recall Texas just having that kind of a loss in Big 12 play where you lose by that many runs to that kind of opponent in the way Texas played. Again, I mean, besides Elder, I don't really know what positives there are to find about that game. It turned into a laughing stock in the final innings. Turned into a joke on Twitter last night. I had, you know, fans from all over the country just in my mentions. You know, LSU was getting smoked by Florida, and they were like, well, at least we're, you know, not getting beat as bad as Texas is tonight. It was that bad. It reminded me of in 2008, Texas went to Missouri and lost a game 31-12. 31-12, but there was some reasoning behind that. The wind was literally insane. It was blowing so hard out that, like, not even routine fly balls were carrying out of the yard. So there was at least a reasoning behind that. And Texas actually scored a lot of runs against Aaron Crow, who ended up being a first-round pick in the draft. And, you know, the Texas bullpen ended up burying a baseball out in the bullpen during that game. Like, remember the Missouri game as kind of the remember the Alamo type cry. So that was the result that immediately popped into my head. And I had Austin Wood and a couple other players commenting about that game on Twitter, just about how, you know, the ball was just flying out of the yard like crazy. Austin Wood joked that he thought he was going to get Skip Johnson fired because of how bad he was in that game. And, you know, Drew Bishop pitched on that team. I think it was the last game he ever pitched at Texas, and I think he gave up a grand slam on what should have been a routine fly ball. So that game was pretty wild. But last night was worse. I can't off the top of my head think of a more lopsided loss, a more disappointing loss. It just in all phases, Texas was just not good. So where does Texas go from here? I'm not quite sure. We'll get into some of the changes that Pierce has made. He was pretty, I don't, with us, it wasn't, you know, I say us as the media, he wasn't really angry after the Kansas State loss on Sunday, them dropping a home series to an inferior opponent. They should have won that series. There's really no excuse for it. So afterwards, he wasn't angry with us. I think he was just more bothered, frustrated, you know, adamant that some things needed to happen, that action needed to be taken. And it's something I wrote about at Orange Bowl. I don't really know what you can do with the lineup. I mean, he's kind of limited in what he can do. There's just the bench is not very big, especially with the losses of David Hamilton and DJ Petrinski and even Kasten Peter as well. You know, Michael McCann at many points last night couldn't even catch the baseball behind home plate. Like, that was really, really bad as well. But he's got to play. Besides Turner Gaunt, who played in his first game at Texas on Tuesday after being, you know, he didn't make the 2019 roster. And then a couple weeks ago, they brought him back just because there's no catching depth. Besides him, there's really no one else to play back there. So there's, in terms of roster personnel, there's not really many changes Texas can make. I know they're trying, like I said, they're trying Bertelsen at first. They started Bryce Regan at second in Tuesday's game. Eric Kennedy came off the bench last night, and he's getting closer to being, you know, everyday guy after he had a little AC joint issue from a collision with Duke Ellis in the outfield during that Baylor series. But there's just really, I mean, the personnel is the personnel. And, you know, based on Pierce's comments, he doesn't necessarily think it's a personnel thing. Thinks it's more like a mental thing, but I look at this lineup and I just don't see a lot of talent. Some of that's on the coaching staff. Some of that is just the way it is. When you take Hamilton and Petrinski out of that lineup, it can expose some things when these guys aren't performing at the highest level. So I don't really know what personnel changes or moves they can make. I mean, they kind of have what they have. That's simply the way it is. Like, I'm almost running out of things to say about the roster, because just look up and down it, there's really not much else they can do in terms of just, you know, you got what you got. And especially when Kennedy gets healthy, like, you know, that's your lineup. So Pierce, interestingly, I didn't see this one coming. He was the third base coach on Tuesday. And it's just, you know, something that he felt like he needed to do. And the reasoning, like, at first I saw that, and I thought, like, okay, is this just, you know, are they just trying too hard at this point just to do something different, to be different? But his explanation did make sense. He said that he's been around, you know, parts of the season like this when he was an assistant coach, when the head coach could be so negative. And I he didn't say it, but I know he's referring to Wayne Graham. Like, and I could totally see that. Wayne is known for not being a happy camper when things are going poorly. So I could see that, you know, if you, as a head coach, you feel the wins and losses more than anybody else. I mean, it ultimately it falls on your shoulders more so than anybody else. So I could see that during a frustrating stretch of time, you understand that you can radiate a lot of negative energy in the dugout. So they switch things up. Pierce coached third. And it gives Sean Allen an opportunity to talk to hitters more. If you think about it, if you're a third base coach and you're a hitting coach, you don't really get many opportunities to talk to guys about at-bats and things like that. You know, when you're in the dugout, they're out in the field. And when they're hitting, you're at third base. Like, there's not really much opportunity to look at swings, to talk to guys about at-bats, to look at, you know, the pitcher in a different way. So, you know, the hope was maybe that would be some sort of fresh breath of air in terms of a different voice in the dugout, a different set of eyes, a different perspective for hitters, a different, you know, opportunity to have conversations about at bats and things like that. And, well, Lamar game was okay. Oklahoma State game, not good. Not good when you were basically no hit. So who knows if Texas will stick with that. You know, it Pierce's approach, he went into this in detail earlier this week about just changes and things like that. And he's definitely of the school of thought that he's going to keep trying things until something works. He's not afraid to try anything or to examine as many things as possible or, you know, look for some sort of change anywhere. You know, a little while back, they, you know, he had the team pick captains just because he felt like that he needed to try to get the team to have more ownership about what was going on. So I would rule anything out that's semi-realistic when it comes to changes, because he's definitely of that school of thought that things aren't going right. We're not going to keep doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting to get different results. Isn't that the definition of insanity? I think that's something Tom Herman uses a lot as well, is if you're not getting the results and you keep doing the same things over and over and over again, I mean, that's kind of insane. So they're definitely going to try different things. They're going to try to change things up as much as they can with the lineup or, you know, the way they coach or this and that. They definitely, when things are going not well, are very open to change and to try to make things different, to shake things up. But I just, again, I don't really know how much they can do with this group. I mean, it kind of is what it is. They're either going to play better or they're not. I don't think there's a magic wand to give this lineup or you know, a lineup construction that's going to dramatically change things. I mean, this group's either going to compete at a high level and hit or it's not. So who knows? I do think the most, I don't know if interesting is a right word, but the thing that caught my attention the most about what David Pierce said earlier this week ahead of the Oklahoma State series is I asked him basically, do you have a vocal guy on this team that'll, when things are not going well or times are tough or there's a bad loss or a poor weekend result, whatever, is going to stand up in front of the team and just speak his mind? Just let people hear it. Just try to take ownership of what's going on. And he said that he's that guy right now. He's providing that vocal presence. He's providing that vocal leadership, because the guys that have just don't have that, just haven't learned how to do that, which I heard and I'm kind of like, man, you've got some guys that have been in this program multiple years. You've got some seniors that are starters. But then I looked at two that the team voted as captains, who the players selected as captains, Michael McCann, Bryce Elder, and why am I forgetting the last one? Ryan Reynolds. And if you think about those three guys, they're all lead by example guys. McCann is statistically the worst hitter on the team. Reynolds hasn't quite played up to the level he should. And, you know, Elder has been solid, but Elder is a more of a quiet, you know, grind by example kind of guy that just came out of nowhere to be the, not out of nowhere completely, but kind of came out of nowhere to be the Friday night starter. Like, and it reminded me when I was, we were in the clubhouse when Texas was finding out who was going to be in its region for last year's NCAA postseason. And they seat everybody in the clubhouse, and all the players are sitting there watching the TV and things like that. And they get to the Austin Regional, and up pops Texas A&M as an at-large team in the Austin Regional. And everybody on the team had this pretty tame, like normal reaction, like kind of, okay, yeah, cool, okay, we're seeing the teams in there. And there's one dude that just stood up and just lost his mind, like was just so fired up when Texas A&M came across that screen. It was Cody Clements. I mean, he was just jumped out of his chair. He was super loud. He was emotional. He just, like, you could see this look on his face. Like, he was like, hell yes, this is awesome. You know, this, I mean, he went nuts, and nobody else on the team really did that. And I kind of filed that away. I was like, huh, you know, this dude really is, you know, the edge of this team or the energy and things like that. And he backed it up. I mean, he was awesome in that regional, and he had the moment against Texas A&M where he came around third base and just, you know, pierced, you know, just stared daggers into that dugout. This team doesn't have one of those guys. And, you know, Pierce also mentioned that, you know, the team's character is really good, but there's something to be said about having some characters as well. And that's where guys like Chase Sugar and Nolan Kingham, those types of guys kind of come into things. Maybe not the best, like, leaders in the most true sense of the word. You know, Kingham did run into some issues where, you know, he was scratched from a start at Oklahoma. You know, he didn't have a sterling reputation in terms of always handling his business. But he was a character. Chase Sugar was a character. When those guys got on the mound, you know, in big moments, they were going to try to let it hang out. They were going to keep things loose in the clubhouse. They were going to, you know, make things a little bit more interesting. And it sounds like right now, Texas just does not have that. It has a bunch of either young guys that really haven't established themselves, or a bunch of older guys that are kind of more of the quiet lead by example types. And I think that when you get to moments like this in the season, you gotta have some of that. You've gotta have at least one of those guys, or something's gotta happen to where, you know, there's a different type of urgency and a vocal approach that kicks in amongst the players, where they've gotta really grab hold of that thing, because there's only so much a voice from a coach can do. There's only so many times a coach can say, we're going to approach it like this, we're going to do this, we're going to change this, and so on and so forth. It always resonates more when it comes from players. And I look back to last season when Texas started 9-9, and they had that double midweek loss at Arkansas, where they got blasted in the first game. The second game wasn't even really that close either. The players came together, and a few guys were just like, hey, enough is enough. We're tired of this shit. It's time to win baseball games. This is not acceptable. And then they turned into an Omaha team. So I don't know if Texas has that dynamic on this team. We'll find out. We'll find out this weekend. We'll find out through the final point of the regular season, because I used a gif of The Rock in my quick little game recap last night at orangewoods.com of him, you know, rock bottoming a guy. This is a rock bottom moment for Texas baseball this season. It's not going to get any worse than this. You come off of a home series loss to Kansas State, who's not a good baseball team. And then you go to Oklahoma State and you lose your first game 15-0 in a game you should have been no hit. It doesn't get lower than that. If you want adversity and you want to try to respond to adversity, here it is. Everywhere that team looks right now is adversity. So, and it can't get any worse than this. It really can't. You know, you look at some of the offensive numbers, you look at some of the ERA numbers for some guys, it just can't get any worse. So I'll be very fascinated to see just the energy level, just the urgency, just the look on players' faces and how they perform in tonight's game at Oklahoma State, and just really how this weekend plays out, because this is a pivotal moment for Texas. you know, this season now, I think, could go one or two ways. It could start really nosediving in the wrong direction, or they could write this thing and get back to being the competitive team that they were earlier this season, a team that this chemistry really showed, that had confidence in what they're doing. This isn't a group that has a lot of confidence right now. It's a really a group that's searching for things. It's a head coach that's searching for things by just, you know, trying to change anything he can to spark some positive results. So I don't think it's the end of the world with this team and this group right now. But like I said, this is a rock bottom type of moment. It can only go up from here. And I really do think that somebody on that roster, some player or players, if last night didn't spark something amongst those guys, or just, you know, somebody to speak up, or just maybe some sort of cathartic release, as to say, you know, let's get this out of our system. We're better than this. If last night didn't do it, then it's just not going to happen with this group. It's just not. And then David Pierce has got to wonder future wise about who's coming in and how they can harvest more of that vocal nature. And it's not easy to be vocal when you're struggling individually as well. It's not like you can look at some of these individual numbers and say, okay, this guy is having an awesome season. He can stick his neck out there. There's not really a lot of that, you know. Like I said, these guys that the players voted as captains, besides Elder, not really having good seasons. You know, McCann's not hitting, and he didn't receive the ball well at all last night. Reynolds is, you know, after having a bunch of doubles and extra base hits to start the season, really isn't driving the baseball. You know, I think Mason Hibbler thinks of himself as a leader and you know, that sort of thing, and tries to take pride in setting that example and working with the younger guys and things like that. But he hasn't hit this year. You know, Duke Ellis had a strong start to the season, but I think that he's kind of, you know, his numbers have kind of taken a little bit of a dip recently as well. So it's hard. It's hard that, but you have to have a guy that's so comfortable in his skin and his ability and his confidence level and just the urgency of what's happening, that he's still able to speak up, that he's still able to at least try to some way get the energy levels going again, gets the confidence level going. You never want to get to this point in the season and have a head coach discussing that he's got to create energy for a bunch. That's not a good sign. You know, and losing and things like that, and disappointing results and frustrations, you know, it's very contagious in all sports. It's especially contagious in baseball because there's so much failure involved in that game. But you don't want to get to this point in the season and have a head coach talk about he's got to create the energy for a team. That's just not a good sign, because what we saw early on in the season when Texas swept LSU, beat Texas Tech in a series, went on the road to beat Louisiana in a series, and all these positive results that were happening was a very energetic bunch, a very, very competitive bunch, a bunch that, you know, really had a bunch of confidence. So it's in there. I mean, it's definitely in there. We've seen it. But lately we just have not seen it enough. And man, if, you know, you look back to that Baylor series now, you know, Texas was bad weather away from probably winning a road series against a top 25 team and the team that's in the top of the Big 12 standings. Imagine, you know, maybe how much the energy levels or confidence levels are different if Texas wins that Sunday game. They're up 6-0 in the second inning, and then the rain washed it away. If they win that series on the road, perhaps things look a little different. Perhaps guys carry themselves differently. Perhaps the confidence and energy is different. But, you know, Texas has what it has roster-wise. It has the opportunities that it has right now. And, man, this is a real, real gut-check moment for this Texas baseball team and for David Pierce, who's clearly searching for anything to try to jumpstart this team. I'll be curious to see how the team responds to this. You know, just it's one thing to lose. It's one thing to lose by a lot of runs. But really, when you don't play well in any phase of the game besides Elder, and you should have been no hit, man, that's the ultimate gut check moment for a team, especially this late into the season. You know, that we're past the halfway point. This is the point in the year where you're either competing for a conference title or you're trying to get that resume into a position to where you feel very good about getting to the NCAA tournament. And on that note, Texas is right now is in no way in jeopardy of missing the NCAA tournament. No. They have so many quality RPI wins already, series wins already, things like that, that we definitely are far away from that point for Texas. But if they have aspirations about competing for a Big 12 championship, I think they have to win these next two games to really have a shot at doing that. So we'll see. You know, Oklahoma State beat Kansas 27-6, hit 12 homers in a game, and then lost the next two games. So it's you know, it's definitely possible for Texas to bounce back and win these next two games. So yeah, not all doom and gloom, but if you're looking for some positive vibes about this Texas baseball team right now, Bryce Elder was good, and it can't get any worse than this. that's really all I got for you. So let's wrap up this edition of the Extra Bases Podcast on theyak.com, episode 39 in the books, trying to explain to you the changes and what's happening with Texas baseball right now, what David Pierce is trying to do, kind of pull the curtain back a little bit on maybe some issues with, not necessarily issues with leadership or chemistry, but just that lack of that one guy, or maybe that two or three guys, those characters, those very vocal guys that provide that edge and that attitude that can kind of step up and say, enough is enough. Like, we're better than this. I just don't think this group has that right now. Maybe last night sparked that. I don't know. We'll find out over these next two games. Two very, very important games for Texas. Right now, it's not so much about winning the series. It's about playing better. It's about competing better. It's about fighting some confidence. It's about scoring some runs. It's about throwing strikes. It's about playing defense. And really, most importantly, it's about having a sense of pride and the energy level about what's going on. So get to theyak.com, check out all of our great podcast content. I've got fantasy baseball podcasts, I've got basketball podcasts, we've got recruiting podcasts, spring football, tech, the Diva Chronicles. I mean, there's a podcast for everything at theyak.com right now. And please, if you do not have our app, make sure you go download it. I was taking a look at it last night, scrolling through it while my wife and I were waiting for a table at one of our favorite Tex-Mex places in Chalazi Moss. And shout out to those guys. If you want to sponsor the pod, hit me up. I'd love to have you as a sponsor. You know, strongest margaritas in the city and definitely some of the best food in the city, that's for sure. And I was showing her the app because I was talking to her about what we're doing at the Yak and kind of really growing this thing. And we're so excited about where this is going. And I'm amazed at how easy that app is to use. It's so sleek. It's so easy to use. It looks great. It kind of pops on your screen. It's very user-friendly. Simply just touch a button and you can just listen to a podcast. So go to the App Store on your iPhone and search for the Yak or Yak Podcast or the Yak Network and download that thing if you haven't already, because it's really going to make podcasting an easier and more enjoyable experience for you. So hopefully there are some more enjoyable things to talk about when Texas baseball wraps up this series at Oklahoma State after losing the series opener 15-0. Last night. And with that, I hope all of you have a great Easter. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy some time with friends and family, or if not, just relax, just kind of chill out, maybe enjoy a little bit time off for work. And if I can make one request, because I can't do this right now, I'm getting really close to my target weight goal. I've been working hard, exercising hard, dieting hard, all those things, so I can't do this. So I'm gonna need you to do this. I'm gonna need you to please eat some Starburst jelly beans. That is the best candy around Easter time. Starburst jelly beans. If you're into the sour jelly beans, get those as well. But please, for me, I'm requesting this of you. It's a really hard request. Eat some Starburst jelly beans for me. And don't lose your mind about this Texas baseball team. It can't get any worse than last night. It can only go up from here. And we'll talk about it more on the next installment of the Extra Bases Podcast at theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. Thank you for listening and take care.